everybody knows that all the people don't have liberty, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do.
Our generation is going to be recruited to fight these endless wars.
We will throw our bodies into the machine.
When you terrorize some of us, you terrorize every single one of us.
Tell them to turn off CNN. Tell them to turn off Fox News. The war is not in Iraq. It's on my block.
Ningún ser humano es ilegal.
I will put my body on the line every single day. Until this war comes to an end.
We must keep resisting, keep fighting, and never give up.
It is the business of the future to be dangerous.
Indie Bay presents Enemy Combatant Radio every other Sunday on Calex's Amandla at 5:30 p.m.
On Sunday, April 25th, for the first time in 12 years, activists from around the country converged on Washington, D.C. in what they call a March for Women's Lives, demanding that the United States uphold women's rights to reproductive justice, choice, access, health care, and more. Loretta Ross is the co-director of this Sunday's march and the executive director of the National Center for Human Rights Education.
Whether it's violence against women, whether it's the attack on abortion rights, whether it's the substitution of abstinence education for quality sex education, or whether it's the war in Iraq that is really ballooning the deficit and costing us social programs, the world's women join us in solidarity in saying no.
Historically, women of color have been excluded from mainstream feminist organizing. Women of color contend that this is the first time that the issues important to them have been taken seriously, but only because they put significant pressure on the organizers. Luz Alvarez Martinez is the executive director and co-founder of the National Latina Health Organization.
As the mainstream is looking at abortion, they're really not calling in women of color to weigh in their issues, their concerns.
Women of color organizations have expanded the concepts included in the march to begin with access to abortion, but to include broader concepts of reproductive justice. Dana Jin Paredes is an organizer with Asian Communities for Reproductive Justice, formerly known as Asian and Pacific Islanders for Reproductive Health.
Women and girls have reproductive justice when we have the power and resources and information to make empowered decisions for herself and her family in all areas of life. This is at school, this is at work, and this is within her home and within her community.
Loretta Ross says that for women of color, the concepts of choice have a different meaning. She says historic issues like the campaigns of sterilization and hysterectomies forced upon poor women and women of color, and current issues like the family cap programs implemented in many states under welfare policies, indicate that U.S. government policies are geared towards preventing women of color from having children.
They say that women on welfare are having too many babies, or women are threatening the environment, or our children are responsible for the crime in the country. So we are always being told as women of color that we have too many babies, that we create an immigration problem, et cetera, et cetera. And so our right to have a child is as important as the right not to have a child.
In the United States alone, 36 million women of color do not have access to adequate health care. 90% of the counties in America do not have an abortion provider. And because of the global gag rule reinstituted by President Bush, reproductive health and sexual rights organizations around the world have had their funding cut. Luz Alvarez Martinez says that reproductive justice has as much to do with access as it does with choice.
So it is not just about abortion, it's about having access. Economic access, geographic access, cultural access, and language access to all of these services. And as you know, we don't have that as Latinas, as women of color, due to economic barriers, due to racism, due to inequality, to injustice.
Indeed, Loretta Ross says commonly ignored economic factors impede real reproductive justice. She contends that the failure of the U.S. government to create and implement laws that deal with women's real needs has caused an economic crisis.
Real women with real lives have to worry about childcare, have to worry about whether or not the neighborhood is safe, have to worry about whether they can afford the housing or can they afford the health care premiums.
Maysay Pun is a youth activist at Asian Communities for Reproductive Justice. She says that she will be attending the march on Sunday and that it is time to get active.
We can't just like sit there and be doormats. We gotta like raise up, stand on up, and raise our voices and be like, we're not taking it. You know, these issues affect not just Caucasian females, but Southeast Asian females as well as other women of color. And we're not gonna take it no more.
For Enemy Combatant Radio on KALX's Amandala, I'm Sarah Olson.
Solo voy con mi pena. Sola va mi condena, correré mi destino para burlar la ley.
Since the first Bush administration, Peru has been a crucial target in the U.S.-led war on drugs. After U.S. pressure led to the installment of a corrupt government, which prioritized coca eradication through the enlistment of paramilitary groups, poor villages throughout Peru have faced crippling starvation and deadly attacks by various U.S.-supported guerrilla groups in the state. In Peru, coca consumption dates back to the days of the Incas, with coca consumed by chewing coca leaves. The effect is not all that different from caffeine consumption. While the widely perpetuated belief about coca is that its cultivation is the prime contributor to U.S. cocaine addiction, the people of Peru use the plant for everything from spiritual ceremonies to house construction, and it is one of the primary export crops that sustain many of the Andean villages that can't grow much else. According to the U.S. State Department, from 1995 to 2000, coca cultivation in Peru was reduced from over 100,000 hectares to around 34,000 hectares due to aggressive U.S. biochemical attacks. Nancy Obregon is the subsecretary of the National Confederation of Cocaleros, occupying the 16 basins in Peru. After her tiny village outside of Lima was attacked by the Shining Path, her community organized to protect its way of life. Now they are facing attacks by the U.S. She spoke with ECR in Mexico at the Out from the Shadows Drug Legalization Summit on her role in the Cocalero movement as a woman and as a revolutionary. She begins by talking about how the attacks have forced her to become a leader in her community.
Eso hizo que Nancy ahora pues sea pues la cabeza.
And that made it so that I became the head of our community. And then when we have to go fight, the head of us won't just be a man, it will be me, Nancy. And at the beginning, people thought I was crazy. But people have begun to see that it is better to stand up for ourselves than to live life on our knees. Now I think I have the belief and the support of all of the members of our community from the basin that I come from.
One of the new strategies implemented by the U.S. in countries like Peru and Bolivia is to make the cocalero farmers responsible for the eradication of their own crops. In this way, the government is able to relinquish responsibility for the destruction of the village's livelihoods under the guise of fostering empowerment and choice, and also to instigate an unspoken ultimatum: either destroy the village yourself, or we will find a way to do it for you. Nancy talks about how her community has responded.
Y verdaderamente una autoerradicación.
This idea of self-eradication, of us eradicating coca voluntarily or by ourselves, does not make sense, because what are we going to live on? This creates a huge dilemma for us, because a lot of people think that we are going to do damage to society because of the stigma of drug use in America. Really, the damage is done by the government appointees who regulate the drug policy and who are fooling the communities and the world. This dilemma has made it very difficult for us in our communities, because they often feel that the government is trying to buy us. Now, we do not want to destroy our communities. We want to defend our independence and our integrity and our livelihood.
If the communities do not comply with voluntary eradication, the military inevitably moves in with a show of force, and then ultimately the destruction of the entire village. Nancy talks about the tactics employed by the government and how the communities have fought back.
Bueno, los policías llegan en helicópteros a las bases militares del ejército.
First, they come with the military, and they come in helicopters from above us. They come with the military, not the police, because they know that the people respect men with guns and not the police. They come and they cut the crops for landing pads, and they set up camp. And the next day, they arrive, not with 15 people, but with hundreds of people. And they set up, and they launch their attack. So what happens is that when they arrive, we alert each other and gather together and organize and decide what we're going to do. Basically, to prepare for war. We do not use sophisticated arms of war, but the weapons we have always had of our ancestors, the Incans, such as machetes and slingshots and spears. When they arrive in great numbers, we do the same, and we match their numbers.
Nosotros nos armamos no con armamentos sofisticados.
Nancy continues to travel the world to educate people about the traditions of her people and the crisis that her community continues to suffer through as U.S. efforts in the war on drugs increase. For more information, check out interviews with Nancy on www.mamacoca.org and www.narconews.com. This has been Sunny Anarchy for Enemy Combatant Radio.
Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
شوف اللي كده متين متين سادي كده متين بالصوب شوف ده كسمه مول شو نبي أنا كنا بقول ده عشان نسمع شو موريتانيا بيجي معهم بس لقيزين أنا غادي أعطيه واحد هذا واحد